الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. 57 Pearls of Wisdom from Qut al-Qulub Part 1. Supplication of Attar. O merciful Lord, whoever reads or listens to the booklet 57 Pearls of Wisdom from Qut al-Qulub, grant them enthusiasm for worship and grant them, along with their parents and family, entry into Jannatul Firdaus without accountability. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The virtue of Salat. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, whoever recites Salat on me 1,000 times in a day will not die until he sees his abode in paradise. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Knowledge is a light. Number one. Knowledge is a light which Allah Almighty places in the heart of a servant. Knowledge is a companion in solitude. The angels value the companionship of the learned and touch them with their wings. Knowledge is an imam and action follows it. Number two. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam stated, imparting knowledge is tasbih and disseminating it to those qualified to receive it is a means of attaining nearness to Allah. Number three. How are inward sciences acted upon? Inward, i.e. batini sciences, are those concerning humility, sincerity, tawakkul, pride, ostentation, envy, and the like. Sciences which are acted upon by the inward organs of the body, namely the qalb, i.e. heart. Definition of the tasawwuf and who is a Sufi. Number four. Sayyiduna Ruwaym bin Ahmad rahmatullahi alayh said, the tasawwuf is that a servant surrenders himself to the will of his Lord so that he may use him in whatever way he wills. Number five. Sayyiduna Abu al-Hasan Qannad rahmatullahi alayh said, a Sufi is one who is ever ready to fulfill the rights of Allah. Number six. The foundations of the tasawwuf. Two matters constitute the essence of the tasawwuf. Tazkiyat al-nafs, i.e. the purification of the soul, and ihsan. The noble Quran repeatedly references the purification of the self among the objectives of the prophetic mission, whilst ihsan is emphasized in the prophetic ahadith. For this reason, the hadith of Jibreel is regarded as the foundation of the tasawwuf. In reply to the question, Mal Ihsan, the merciful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, worship Allah as though you see Him. And if you cannot attain that state, then be assured that He sees you. Number seven, Ghurba, i.e. spiritual estrangement, and the gudri, i.e. woolen cloak. The practice of Prophet Yahya alayhi salam, living in his homeland as though a traveller and remaining distant from one's kin, even whilst residing amongst them, is recorded as his sunnah. The gudri, i.e. the woolen cloak, is associated with Prophet Musa alayhi salam, who first wore woolen garments. Number 8. Sayyiduna Abu Tufail radiyallahu anhu, demise 100 AH, was the final companion to depart from this world in Makkah at the close of the first century of the Hijrah. At that time, none remained who had beheld the beauty of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Number 9. Concerning Shaykh Abu Talib al-Makki, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi comments, Shaykh Abu Talib al-Makki rahmatullahi alayhi was endowed with extensive knowledge, was a man of realized station, well acquainted with the states of the predecessors and distinguished by particular excellence in piety and abstinence, accompanied by deep and mature reflection. Number 10. Definition and attainment of divine pleasure, Riza Ilahi. A Riza is the heart's contentment with the enactment of divine ordinances. The repose and tranquility of the heart are not achieved by volition alone, but are gifts from Allah. He grants them to whomever He wills. Number 11. Collected pearls of wisdom for 40 years. Sayyidina Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayh collected pearls of wisdom in his heart for 40 years and then expressed them with his tongue. Number 12. A scholar values his solitude. However, if he is blessed with special companions, he prefers their company to solitude. Number 13. The noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam enjoined, none of you should displace his brother from his place in order to sit in it himself. Rather, adopt expansiveness and generosity. Number 14. Preparation for Jumu'ah. Some of the pious predecessors used to spend the night before Friday in the Jami Masjid, and some would even spend the following night there so as to avail themselves of additional blessings from Friday. The common folk would perform Fajr in their local neighborhood masajid and then proceed to the Jami Masjid. It is related that the first innovation, Ibidda, was that people began to abandon coming early to the Jami Masjid. Number 15. Constant remembrance. Allah, Allah. Shaykh Abu Talib al-Makki rahmatullahi alayh would spend every moment of his life in the remembrance of Allah Almighty. He did not regard any breath taken in heedlessness of remembrance as a true breath. Number 16. Optimal time management. No time, however brief, should lack three things. Number 1. Time devoted to an obligatory duty imposed by Allah Almighty. There are two forms, those whose fulfillment or abandonment are commanded. Number 2. Time spent on a recommended, i.e. mustahab action. Number 3. Time engaged in permissible, i.e. mubah activity that benefits both body and heart. For the believer, no fourth class of time should exist. If he allows a fourth, he is transgressing the limits set by Allah, and one who transgresses Allah's bounds wrongs his own self. Number 17. Seven essentials for a murid, i.e. spiritual aspirant. Number 1. Sincerity in intention. Its sign, preparation of provisions for the hereafter. Number 2. Adopting means of obedience. Its sign, abandoning bad companions. Number 3. Recognition of the state of the nafs. Its sign, awareness of the nafs maladies. Number 4. Sitting in the gathering of an alim rabbani, i.e. a divinely guided scholar. Its sign, preferring the rabbani scholar over others. Number 5. Sincere repentance, i.e. tawbah nasuha, such that sin is not recommitted, permitting the sweetness of worship and steadfastness. Its sign, ending the sources of desire for the nafs and keeping the nafs away from its beloved things. Number 6. Eating lawful things that are not blameworthy. Number 7. Having a companion who helps in good deeds. The sign of a good companion is assistance in righteous and pious acts and forbidding sin and rebellion. Number 18. It is mentioned in Kashf al-Zunnun in terms of the subtleties of the spiritual path in Islam, there is no book comparable to Qut al-Qulub. Number 19. Haste and forgetfulness are caused by Satan. Furthermore, at such times a person suffers from a lack of divine enablement, i.e. tawfiq. Number 20. If a person becomes aware of a virtue from the book and the sunnah and acts upon it with a hope of reward, Allah Almighty grants him the reward of that action, even if the outward act is not exactly as prescribed. Number 21. After Fajr, one should sit and contemplate the duties of the day, considering which obligations and good deeds, i.e. mustahabbat, to perform. One should also reflect that Allah Almighty, by His mercy and generosity, conceals one's faults from others. Yet, if He wills, those defects could be made manifest. Number 22. The pious predecessors, rahimahumullah, used to consider it undesirable to speak about anything other than goodness from the time of dawn until sunrise. Number 23. Best knowledge and best action. It is narrated that a time will come when the best of knowledge amongst people will be silence, and the best action will be abstaining from sins. How desirable it would be if a person was like a sleeping person, even in a state of wakefulness. Because during sleep, one is protected from sins, whereas during wakefulness, remaining protected from sins is a difficult matter. Number 24. Sayyidina Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi says, Allah loves those who when idle sleep in order to attain safety. Number 25. Sleeping twice a day is as disliked as someone failing to spend the night in worship and then sleeping during the day. Number 26. 8 hours of sleep is recommended. The nap after Zuhr is for the coming night, whilst the sleep before Zuhr is for the previous night. Sleep should not exceed 8 hours in total across day and night. Some argue that without such rest, the body would become weak, since sleep is nourishment and respite for the body. Number 27. It is recommended to perform itikaf in the masjid between Zuhr and Asr. Number 28. Everything is prostrating. The interval between Zuhr and Asr is one of the times when everything prostrates. How lamentable that inanimate and lifeless things prostrate to their Lord and engage in His remembrance, whilst living human beings remain heedless of their Lord. Number 29. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, he who finds today worse than yesterday is unfortunate. Number 30. Whoever worships Allah Almighty and then abandons worship through sluggishness, Allah Almighty becomes displeased with him. Number 31. In place of Tahiyyat al-Masjid, the one who sits in the masjid without having performed Tahiyyat al-Masjid should recite this 4 times. Subhanallahi walhamdulillahi wa la ilaha illallahu wallahu akbar, as these words are equal in merit to 2 units of prayer. Likewise, whoever enters the masjid without wudu or simply passes through the masjid should recite them 4 times. Number 32. Entering the masjid without wudu. Shaykh Abu Talib al-Makki rahmatullahi alayhi disliked entering and sitting in the mosque without wudu. Number 33. The 7 declensions, i.e. zawal of the sun. There are 7 declensions of the sun. 3 of them are not known to any human. The first is known only to Allah Almighty. The second is known to angels who overlook the sun. The third is known to the angels of the earth. The fourth is known to astronomers. The fifth is known to mathematicians and timekeeping experts. The sixth is known to muezzins and those who keep track of time. The seventh is recognized by everyone, as it is at this time that prayer is performed. Number 34, the speed of the sun. The merciful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam asked Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam whether the time for the descent at Zawal of the sun had come. Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam replied, "No, yes." When the Prophet inquired, "How can that be?" Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam said, "Between me saying no and yes, the sun traversed 50,000 farsakhs in the heavens." Number 35, a rida for the righteous and forgiveness for the sinners. Allah's rida is for the righteous, and His forgiveness and bounty are for sinners. Number 36, Fajr on Friday. Whoever prays Fajr in congregation on Friday and then remains in the masjid remembering Allah Almighty until the sun rises, for him there are 70 ranks in Jannatul Firdaus, each separated by a distance equivalent to a swift horse galloping for 70 years. Number 37, a person of hell may become one of paradise. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam stated that whoever on the night of Monday performs two rak'ah, in which after al-Fatiha in each rak'ah he recites Surah al-Ikhlas, al-Falaq and al-Nas 15 times each, and then after the Taslim recites Ayatul Kursi and Istighfar 15 times each, Allah will admit him amongst the people of paradise, even though he were formerly of the inmates of hell. His hidden, open and private sins will be forgiven, and for every verse he recites, a reward equivalent to one Hajj and Umrah will be recorded. If he dies between one Monday to the next, he dies the death of a martyr. Number 38, the second caliph of Islam, Sayyiduna Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu stated, "Wise and prudent people perform witr at the beginning of the night, whilst the strong and capable perform it in the last portion of the night." Number 39, the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam performed witr at the beginning, middle and end of the night. Number 40, from a medical perspective, going to the lavatory in the morning is beneficial and more conducive to purity, especially for those who eat during the day. Number 41, if a person sleeps in the state of wudu, engaged in dhikr, lost in contemplation and reflection, his bed becomes a place of worship and he will be recorded as one who prays until he awakens. Number 42, it is recommended to begin tahajjud with two brief rak'ah and to avoid eating or drinking until the prayer is completed. Upon awakening, the heart is free from worldly desires and eating alters one's state. Number 43, merits of tahajjud. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Perform the night prayer, i.e. tahajjud, for it is the cause of Allah's pleasure. It wipes out sins. It was the practice of the righteous before you. It repels sins, relieves burdens, and wards off illnesses from the body." Number 44, matters of paradise. Sayyiduna Ali bin Bakkar rahmatullah alayhi reports, "For 40 years nothing upset me except the dawn's rising. Someone stated that to stand at night, to speak to the beloved and to supplicate to one who is closer than the jugular vein are not worldly deeds but deeds of paradise disclosed to Allah's select servants. The knowledge of these deeds is not given to others, nor do others taste the repose of heart that results from performing them. Number 45. Sayyidina Utba al-Ghulam rahmatullahi alayhi said that he endured hardship in worship at night for 20 years and thereafter enjoyed its blessings for 20 years, i.e. 20 years of strenuous devotion followed by 20 years of ease and delight in worship. Number 46. Beautiful recitation. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Allah has not commanded anything in the way He has commanded that the Quran be recited with a beautiful voice. Number 47. A pillow at home. Sayyiduna Wahab bin Munabbi al-Yamani rahmatullahi alayhi had a leather pillow which he would place his chest upon and then take a few breaths and suddenly wake up. He would say that he preferred to see Satan in his home rather than a pillow. He stated that seeing a pillow at home invited sleep, that is, to gaze upon bed-related objects invites sleep. Therefore, ordinarily, one should not look at them to avoid falling into the slumber that distracts from worship. Number 48. Aids for night vigil. To maintain night prayer, ayy qiyam, one must take provisions as one would for a journey. Keep the stomach empty, drink little water, sleep during the day, ayy qayrullah, and avoid overtaxing the limbs in worldly occupations. Number 49. Night vigils. It is narrated that Allah Almighty said, Verily, my sincere servant is he who does not wait for the call of the rooster to rise for prayer. This narration praises rising for worship before the time of suhoor, i.e. pre-dawn meal. Number 50. Sleeping in the last portion of the night. Two reasons render it recommended to sleep in the last portion of the night. Number one, it removes the drowsiness of the morning and prevents dozing during Fajr. The predecessors greatly disliked tiredness after Fajr. In fact, they would tell the tired person to sleep after the Fajr prayer. Number two, it reduces facial pallor. If one spends most of the night awake and then sleeps before suhoor, one's morning drowsiness is diminished and the face becomes less sallow. Conversely, if one sleeps most of the night and awakes for suhoor, one will still be drowsy in the morning and the pallor will be more apparent. Thus, one should avoid that practice, for it opens the door to fame and hidden desire for praise. Also, drinking little water at night lessens facial sallowness, especially in the last portion of the night and after awakening. Number 51. Cause of missing congregational prayer. Sayyiduna Abu Sulaiman rahmatullahi alayhi states that the cause of missing congregational prayer is a sin. Sayyiduna Ibn Safi rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, In my roughly 30 years as a prison warden, I would ask those brought in during the night what had happened. I would ask them whether they had performed Isha in congregation, and the reply would be no. Number 52. The pious predecessors, rahmahumullah, preferred abundance of ruku and sujood in daytime prayers and long standing in night prayers. Number 53. A supplication of Sayyida Fatima radiyallahu anha. The beloved sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said to Sayyida Fatima, recite this supplication. Ya hayyu ya qayyumu bi rahmatika astaghithu fa aghithni wa la takilni ila nafsi tarfat aynin wa aslih li sha'ni kullahu. Translation, O ever living, O Sustainer, by your mercy I seek help, so help me, and do not leave me to myself even for the blink of an eye. rectify all my affairs. Number 54. The Prophet's morning and evening supplication. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam used to make this supplication each morning and evening without neglect. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah wa as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyata fi dini wa dunyaya wa fi ahli wa mali. اللهم استر عورتي وآمن روعاتي وأقلني عثراتي اللهم احفظني من بين يدي ومن خلفي وعن يميني وعن شمالي ومن فوقي. Translation: O Allah, I ask you for well-being in this world and the hereafter. I ask you for pardon and well-being in my religion, my world, my family, and my wealth. O Allah, conceal my faults and grant me security from my fears. Relieve me of my slips. O Allah, protect me from before me, from behind me, from my right, from my left, and from above me. Number 55. A beautiful supplication. Ya Ghawthu, Ya Mughithu, Ya Mustaghathu, يا غياث المستغيثين لا تكلني إلى نفسي يا ربي طرفة عين فأهلك ولا تكلني إلى الخلق فأضيع اكللني كلاءة الوليد ولا تخل عني وتولني بما تتولى به عبادك الصالحين. Translation: O helper, O rescuer, O one to whom pleas are made, O relief of those who seek help, do not leave me to myself. O my Lord, even for the blink of an eye, lest I perish. Do not leave me to creation, lest I be ruined. Protect me with the protection given to a newborn, and do not abandon me. Take charge of me with that by which you take charge of your righteous servants. Number 56. The best supplication. Ana abduka ibnu abdika, nasiyati biyadika, jarin fiyya hukmuka, nafidhun fiyya qadauka adlun fi mashi'atika. In tu'adhib fa ahlu thalika ana, wa in tarham fa ahlu thalika anta fafa'al. Allahumma ya maulaya, يا الله يا ربي افعل بي ما أنت له أهل ولا تفعل اللهم يا ربي يا الله بي ما أنا له أهل فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة. Translation: I am your servant, son of your servant. My forelock is in your power. Your command is in force over me. Your decree upon me is carried out, and your will is just. If you punish me, then I am deserving of it. And if you show mercy, then you are worthy of it. So do as you will. O Allah, O my Master, O Allah, O Lord, deal with me as befits you, and do not deal with me as befits me. O Allah, O Lord, O Allah, for indeed you are the owner of piety and the owner of forgiveness. Number 57. Supplication by means of Al-Asma Al-Husna. When one supplicates, one should do so by the meanings of the beautiful names of Allah, for they reflect His attributes, and Allah Almighty is pleased with such supplication. He revealed those names so that supplicants might call upon him through them. For example, Ya Jabbaru, Ujbur Qalbi, Ya Ghaffaru, Ighfir Dhambi, Ya Rahmanu, Aslihni, Ya Rahimu, Irhamni, Ya Tawwabu, Tub Alayya, Ya Salamu, Sallimni, Sallu Alal Habib, صلى الله على محمد.